If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Everybody, JJ Cooper, Jeff Ponce, another Baseball America Prospect podcast. We are rolling along. We are doing six different division by division, kind of state mid-season, not mid-season at this point, 65% of the way through the year type state of the organizations for all 30 teams. Trade deadline is done. We've updated our top 30s for all 30 organizations now multiple times in season. I think we've actually done it now multiple times this, you know, in the past 2 weeks, to be honest. But so we're kind of taking stock, taking a chance to look at kind of the good and the bad of what kind of each organization is kind of doing, where things stand as we head into the tail end of the 2024 major and minor league season. And Jeff, the thing that does jump out when we talk about the good and the bad is there, I don't know if it's easy. If you could possibly have bad more than you start off with when you're talking about Chicago White Sox and their 2024 season, one that I think if you want to go Men in Black, you know, could be one of those seasons you want to have erased from your memory. Yes. Pretty much anyone involved, I would imagine. But kind of, you know, as we dive in, good to talk to you again. And where do you kind of see the White Sox as we sit here, as they kind of evoke comparisons to the 62 Mets and the 2003 Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously gone as bad as it possibly could. You go back to 2020, 2021. There was a lot of hope around this organization that they had a good young core of players, an exciting young core, and were a team to contend with over the next 4 to 5 years. That really has not come to fruition. It's been the complete opposite. Just about everything that could go wrong from an injury and a performance standpoint has, and even a lot of the assets that they had that would have been top assets in the trade market 3 years ago, you know, have sort of shrunk into secondary pieces in trades. I mean, Eloy Jimenez was just traded a few weeks ago or last week for, you know, as a platoon bat for a playoff team, right? And that's not something you would have thought when this guy was ranked as a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. That said, I think the positive side of things is there are some really exciting players here at the top of their system. A couple of left-handed pitchers that I think probably rank among the best lefties in the minor leagues. And, you know, it's not the most talented system, but there's definitely some things to like here with the White Sox. Though, like I said, it's not going to be ranking, you know, in the top five systems in the game. There are some really nice pieces within the system that maybe one shred of positivity to take away from this dreadful season.
So, okay, before we move on from it, I do want to kind of take a step back and look at it. It's like, yeah, when, as you noted, this is the team that won 93 games in 2021 and won 93 games at the time with, you know, Yoan Moncada having a very good season, Tim Anderson having a very good season. This was a team that had a solid pitching staff and young pitchers. Like, this was a team that looked like at that time that there's was, you know, relatively well set up. Obviously, injuries have played a role, but the other thing that does jump out is it can't be that you push this group of talent through and then you kind of don't have any follow-up. And it's not that they didn't have any follow-up. I would say that the follow-up has kind of has fallen flat. You know, this is a team that we talk about kind of the natural life cycle. We say that the Orioles are headed this direction right now, which is you have these incredible top of the rankings farm systems they're supposed to dip back down to, they're supposed to return to more normal, because you graduate those players. And if you're good, you not only graduate those players, but you graduate them and you're drafting later, and you're not, you know, you're trading away prospects to acquire big league talent. And so the system fails off. But the thing that does jump out is that, and this is something that I can't get out of my head, like, if you talked about in 2021, the worst farm systems in baseball, the White Sox, I would say, were dead last, and there was a gap between them and anyone else. And so kind of what happened is I would also say is that 2021 team did have Jose Abreu at first base. It had Yasmani Grandal having a very good season at catcher, but he was 32. It had, you know, it had Adam Eaton in right field, who was probably at the very tail end of his career. You know, there were veterans on those teams, and as those veterans kind of aged out or hit free agency, they didn't have anything behind them to replace them. And having players like Andrew Vaughn kind of struggle to develop. They have had Garrett Crochet, now healthy, be really, really good this year. But I guess the one question I want to ask before we dive into their prospects more is, knowing what we know now, like, is this a case of a team that we were overly optimistic about their path in 2019, 2020, 21, or is it one where there's got to be some hard questions on why did these players not get better?
Yeah, I think you can kind of point to a few things. I think you can point to their lack of adjusting to the modern game over the last decade. I think they sit right alongside the Rockies in terms of teams that have the least amount of data analysts in the game. They've kind of rejected a lot of that data first thinking within the organization. They made a really unusual hire with a guy, you know, who is well into retirement, Antonio La Russa, who also had some off the field questions. He's obviously a Hall of Fame manager, one of the greats of all time, but probably not a good fit for a young Latin team that was, very swaggy and kind of vibrant. Probably not a great fit in terms of the personality for that locker room. And I think things kind of started to tip down from there when they made that move. I think everybody looked at it immediately and was like, hey, Tony La Russa is a great baseball guy, a Hall of Famer. There's no questions there of what he's done and what his contributions have been to the game over the last 30 years. But for the here and now, he was not a good fit. It was old school thinking. You know, it was kind of playing off of, you know, ownerships, relationships and friendships that he had had within the game, as opposed to taking a step back and finding the right candidate to sort of lead the charge there, trying to rework their player development. I think it's still a question mark when you sort of look at this organization and even the players that they target in the draft. When you compare and contrast them with the Rockies have a deep, exciting farm system. And you can sort of look at their last 2 to 3 drafts and how well they've done in the international market and say, well, at least there's depth there with some high-end talent. You could point to an organization like that and say, hey, there's maybe a future here, where we look here and there's a handful of players that I think are really exciting prospects. It drops off pretty quickly, and you sort of have to wonder where the reinforcements are going to come from. It's a better system than it's been over the last handful of years. They've added a lot of players via trades, via the draft, but it's still, you know, you start to get to 20 in the system and it's still not going to reinforce this major league roster the way that they need to. Oh, and by the way, they can't pick in the top 10 next year either because of, you know,
the rules,
bigger market team, et cetera, the rules, all that sort of thing. So that's really concerning that even though you're bad, you're not going to be able to sort of benefit from the fruits of your labor. And looking at other teams, just record wise, they're cleared as the worst team in baseball by 13 or 14 games. You know, the difference between them and like the next worst team is the difference between that team and like a first place team. So I think you look at that, and if you're a White Sox fan, it really turns your stomach. So just so much has gone wrong here that it's just mismanagement by the organization, frankly.
I'm not a Giant. I got to say, the farm system, it's got some really interesting top-end guys. Exactly. It is not one set up to turn this around right now. It is a long ways away from that, in my opinion. And I look at the key thing that I've really kind of struggled with on this is, okay, who are their hang your hat position player prospects? Because Colson Montgomery is their top position player prospect, and he's a I don't think there's any doubt at this point that he's going to be a big leaguer, and very potentially a solid big leaguer. But at the same time, there are, you know, it's not a great season. There are still defensive questions where he plays long term, and kind of approach it all. Where I would say that it's easy to envision a scenario where he ends up being a very good kind of, if I say second tier player, that's damning him more than I want to here, but complementary player, right? You don't want, I would say that right now we got done talking about the AL East, and in the AL East, when we talk about kind of the, you know, the Carson Williams and the Junior Caminero's, those are guys who you can easily kind of come to a scenario where it's like, that's a cornerstone type guy. Who are the cornerstone type position player prospects in this White Sox system?
Yeah, I guess it's Colson Montgomery. And I don't think from what he's shown this year, I think the, you know, things have gone about as bad as they possibly could. He's in a great hitting environment. He hasn't hit. He's still young for the level, and there's skills to like. There's some things under the hood that, you know, maybe you look at it and say, I'm not as concerned as the slash line. But you got to produce. You got to post. And he hasn't done that, and it just feels as if he probably needs another at least half a season in AAA and a good offseason to get back to where he was. And then you look at a guy like Edgar Cuero, who's an interesting prospect. He's always been able to hit. I don't know how much impact is in the bat. And then there's defensive questions. So there really aren't a lot. And I wouldn't say there's any slam dunk above average regular in the system at the moment.
He is as risky as juggling nitroglycerin. Let me be clear. But if you asked me to name you a could be a cornerstone type position player prospect in the system, I think, Jeff, you know exactly where I'm going, which is let's go way down this list to George Walkow, who may never have a successful season in Double A if he doesn't continue to make massive improvements, because his strikeout rate is one where it's at a level that, you know, Joey Gallo looks at it and, you know, kind of turns away and it's like, that's too much. But that being said, he is a really special athlete for someone that big. He hits the ball really hard. There's a lot there that could all come together. He's at least, I guess the way I put it is he's different than a lot of these guys in that it's hard for me to envision saying, oh, he's going to end up being a nice complementary player. I can't really envision the complementary player version of him. I kind of envision it being more of like, well, he could be a lesser version of James Wood if it all comes together, or he could be never added to a 40-man roster, left unprotected and unpicked in a Rule 5 draft in a couple of years, kind of level of range of variance. Is that fair?
Yeah, he could be a guy that we're writing about in multiple Rule 5, you know, previews about, hey, this guy's interesting, maybe somebody takes a shot on him kind of deal, but without like any, you know, real vigor behind him getting picked potentially. Or as you said, I think the upside is there. He could be an exciting player. You know, Brooks Baldwin has been a nice little breakout for them, but there's not a lot of upside there necessarily. He's not a guy that hits for a lot of power. Just sort of a hit tool guy, kind of somebody that would have been reminiscent of, you know, a corner outfielder in the 80s or something. Well,
can I ask you that? Like, that's where I feel like when I look at this organization right now, and let me just say, I think Chris Getz has kind of one of the toughest jobs in the world here, in that he took over something that was already, you know, the Titanic had already hit the iceberg at the time he took over, right? Like, so you can't hang what may end up being one of the worst, which probably is going to be one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball history. You can't hang that on, you know, on him, like, oh, look at what he took over. But then on top of that, he's also got to kind of turn around the Titanic here and head it in a different direction when it comes to player development and scouting and all that. But the knock I would have on this right now, as I look at this, is when it comes to position players, I feel like there are too many of the, nothing against Brooks Baldwin, who's a great story, but like enough, way too many of the Jacob Gonzalez, Brooks Baldwin types where you're like, they're fine, right? Like, yeah. They could make the majors if you're, they could be a second division regular. Maybe if you're, you know, maybe you get fortunate, one of them's a first division regular, but it's a whole lot of guys who could check that box of played the big leagues. But I just don't see a whole lot of, I see a lot more pitchers on this list who have a chance to have significant impacts than I do position players.
Yeah, I think they got some interesting players in this draft and the trade deadline, and guys like Caleb Bonmer, you know, Albertus and Gerald Perez from the Dodgers. Samuel Zavala is a guy that's shown some spurts of being an interesting player, but has not really taken a step forward this year. Casey Sauke, you know, is an interesting player. I think Nick McLean's an interesting player. But I think, like, you're looking at a bunch of guys where if they're 45s, 50s, you're kind of happy if that's what they turn out to be, not necessarily players they're going to push for, you know, 60s. They don't have any 60s in the system. And the ones that they do have are guys like Noah Schultz that are pretty far away still, or in Hagen Smith.
That's a great way to kind of take us to the Guardians, who are right now the class of the AL Central again this year. But also, I would say, have a farm system with a number of guys who I do think could be those 55s, those 60s, those guys who you're like, hey, this is what it looks like. Like, if you're comparing farm systems, the Guardians farm system should be significantly worse than the White Sox right now. It's not. I think it's deeper. I think it's better, in my opinion. Even if I will say, like, having a Schultz, you know, at the top of the list is a really great way. Hagen Smith is a great way to start. But I really do still like where the Guardians are, even after they made some pretty aggressive trades. I'm not, I think both of us kind of surprised that Alexander Clemmy went in a trade for what I would describe as kind of a solid regular outfielder, but not an impact outfielder in the Elaine Thomas acquisition. But where do you see this Guardians farm system at? Again, on a team that, let's just acknowledge, is, you know, a not just a playoff contender, but a team that's been contending for the best record in the American League for most of the year.
Yeah, against some juggernauts too, like the Orioles and the Yankees. And they've kind of been even keeled throughout the season. They haven't had those dips as great as the Yankees have, or even the Orioles over the last couple of months. They added, you know, the number one pick in the draft, a top three player in the draft. You know, obviously there's some debate as to who the best is. But, you know, a guy like Travis Bezzana that could potentially move really fast. I'm going to be out there next week to catch up with Travis a little bit. But I think, you know, one of the things and one of the angles I'm going to sort of take on this is this a guy that, you know, potentially could help this team out down the stretch if need be, or could be up to the majors really quick next year, a la Wyatt Langford. And, you know, behind that, they have guys that have taken big steps forward. Ralphie Velasquez has really hit. There's defensive questions, but the bat in terms of contact and power. I mean, we saw his batting practice in the Futures game. It was the best of anybody that was out there. I mean, he was pound for pound, contact, power to all parts of the park. He's still super young. There's a lot to believe in there. They've had some unfortunate injuries with a guy like Chase DeLotta, who just keeps re-injuring his foot. But once he's healthy and back on track, it wouldn't shock me if he's fast-tracked to the major leagues. Could give them another dimension of a really exciting, you know, five tool type of player. Kyle Manzardo, you know, got some opportunities at the big leagues this year. Still a great combination of hit tool and power. I think he develops into an average or better regular. Angel Janao is a guy that really exciting, kind of a classic Guardians prospect, middle infielder, a little bit undersized, switch hitter, but has some tools to like. And then Jackson Churio's younger brother, Jason Churio, has had a good season. He's a top 100 prospect. And I think there's a lot to like here in the top five, six, even seven. And then you have guys like CJ Kafis, who have just taken a massive step forward under the Guardians player development. He's shown more power than I think we even expected he would. It's outproduced some of the underlying data, but he's a guy that just gets a lot of flush barrels consistently. And then another guy that I know we talked about prior to updating the list here is Cooper Engle, who's catching for the first time, had an arm injury when he was in college. He's always had excellent plate skills. I think it's almost twice as many walks as he has strikeouts. He's hitting for some power. He's playing a position every day. He's throwing out runners at a really high clip, which is good to see from a guy that did have some arm issue concerns. there's a lot of good development going on within the Guardian system. And I'll even put it out there. I think over the last 5 to 6 years, the hallmark of the system, the thing that the Guardians can hang their hat on, is they've kind of been the kings of depth. They've always had a really good system depth. So they've been able to trade guys like Alex Clemmy, et cetera, and not miss a beat. Though I'm sure they wish they had Junior Cameron Arrow right now.
So,
or Tobias Myers, for that matter.
See, this is where I also really think, in addition to the fact that they had the most money to spend in the draft, so in addition to Bazana, it's guys like Joey Oki and guys like that, high upside guys. But take the draft out of this for a minute. You mentioned CJ Kafis making a big step forward. Tugboat Wilkinson. We're still a little skeptical, to be honest. I want to see him do it at higher levels, but no one can deny he's having one of the best seasons in the minors. He has value now in a trade that he had no value in a trade, to be honest, coming into the season, you know, considering what he's done. Daniel Schneeman, who's kind of carved out a role for them at the big league level. You mentioned Engel. I like their pitching, like the guys like Parker Messick, who can really pitch, Ryan Webb, who can really pitch, who's not even on our 30 because they're so deep. This is a system where there's just a whole lot of guys who have paths to big league roles of some sort. And that's not even giving it like that little bit of Guardians magic where it's like, okay, they seem to always have pitchers who find another gear, you know, as pros, you know, in their development. A guy like Jackson Humphreys, who's, you know, we've written about it, you know, in our updates, like, I don't think we've seen anywhere close to what we're going to see from Jackson Humphreys this year. He kind of had an illness early in the season, kind of derailed his season, but that's a high upside arm. And that's one of like 5 or 6 of these kind of high upside lefties, even in the system that they have. I just feel like overall for a team that's competing at the big league level, now winning the lottery does a lot for you. Let's be clear, but to be where they are right now, this is a system that is really deep, is really interesting. We're not even mentioning, like, we don't know. I mean, you could rank Daniel Espino 5 in this system, or you could rank him 35 if you wanted to, because who knows what he's going to be. You know, we're hoping that he comes back from what has been a pretty serious shoulder injury, but he's kind of like a bonus. You don't, like, they can be okay even if he doesn't come back for them. It's a really interesting system. It's been a great season for the Guardians, both at the big league level and at the minor league level. The next team we're going to talk about, the Tigers, I would say we could say it's been a very good season at the minor league level. We can't say the same thing about the big league level, but we'll cover that right after a quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. You can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I think we're going to have an opening coming open. When it comes open, I'm going to use Indeed. Why? Because Indeed makes my job easy. When I'm hiring, it puts it all in one place. It organizes, it does the thinking for me to where I can just connect with quality candidates and do the process that we need to do to hire. That's what Indeed does. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The heat of summer is here. Whether you're going for a long run or just sitting by the pool, your favorite summer treat could be giving you extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV has refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet that hit the spot when you need transformative, hydrating relief all summer long. Indulge in hydration with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients from the number one powdered hydration brand in America, Liquid IV. Did you know that blue and pink cotton candy are different flavors? I didn't until I started enjoying both of them through Liquid IV. Personally, I'm partial to the blue cotton candy. I make sure I pour some in my water bottle with some ice before I head out on a bike ride. It not only hydrates, but it's a more enjoyable way to stay hydrated.
blue cotton candy. That's my recommendation. But I've yet to find a Liquid IV flavor I don't like. Cool off your summer with the reimagined flavors of treats like Rainbow Sherbet and Popsicle Firecracker. Or make your own Liquid IV popsicles. Indulgent flavors keep your wellness rituals fresh and keep you motivated and hydrated. Find all your favorite flavors on the website. There's acai berry, lemon lime, pina colada. You can even choose from their line of sugar-free flavors like raspberry melon, white peach, and green grape. The white peach, that's pretty good too. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's powdered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, eight essential vitamins and nutrients. Always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BA2022 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BA2022 at liquidiv.com. And we're back. So, Jeff, if the Guardians, if it's all going right for the Guardians, I would say with the Tigers, we can't say that it's all gone right this year, but I really do feel better about where Detroit is than I have probably at any time in quite a while. You know, that's my assessment of it, but how do you assess it?
Yeah, and I think that with the change within the front office over the last couple of years, just in terms of personnel and who's making the decisions there, I think that you have to be a little bit more confident in the decisions that they make in the draft. Outside of the first round, the types of players they're going after, you know, they always seem to fall back on very boring college performers, and they're not doing that any longer. We're getting all these high upside preps over the last couple of years. Max Clark has had a good year. Kevin McGonigal has been one of the best breakout prospects in the minor leagues. Bryce Rainer, I think, will follow in those footsteps. They went out and they acquired some interesting players like Theron Loranzo. You know, Haoyu Lee wasn't this year, but was last year. He's another guy that if you look under the hood, the numbers are really good. There's a lot of good positional players in this system, which was not a hallmark of the Alex Avila teams in that whole rebuild where it was so pitching heavy. And, you know, as we've always said, to get one pitching prospect that works, you're probably going to have three that fail. And you kind of saw that.
Can I interject? Would you say not a hallmark? It's not just the Alavila time. You have to go back. You could go back to the 20th century if you say, hey, I want to get to the fifth. You know, what's the fourth or fifth most successful position player that they've produced homegrown? Like, they don't have five in the 21st century, I would argue. Like, regulars who ended up having solid roles for more than just a couple of years. It's been that bleak. And that's where they've turned it around. I completely agree with you. Like, and if you look at this now, to have a top of your system that starts with Jackson Job, Max Clark, and Kevin McGonigal, there aren't a whole lot of teams that can compete with that, is there?
No, I think just even the top five in general. I know Jace Young, depending upon how you fall on the Jace Young debate, still a pretty good prospect. And I think in a lot of these systems that we've been talking about already, a guy that ranks easily in the top five of most systems. And then a guy like Bryce Rainer, who I think you could make an argument could turn out to be the best prep position player taken in this draft. It's between him and Connor Griffin. And I think, you know, if you look at the track record and where he played high school baseball and the best high school baseball conference, arguably in the country, there in Southern California, he's a guy that has some track record. He's bigger. He has some tools under their player development. You feel a lot better because things have definitely changed around Lakeland in terms of what their approach has been and the type of players that they've churned out and how guys have gotten better just from an all around standpoint. It's exciting, you know, and it's kind of across the board here. They got some catching depth. They got a bunch of middle infielders. They got some outfielders as well. They still have some pitching with Jackson Job. And I know he's a little bit more underrated, but Jaden Hamm is a guy that we've had in top 100 discussions. I think Ty Madden still has a chance to be a pretty good major league starter, maybe at the back end of a rotation. Same with Troy Melton. Keiter Montero has shown some flashes in the big leagues. So
Brant Berger had a great debut.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to bring that up too. Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot to like with this top 15. And even as you get a little bit further down the list, I know I have some friends in Tigers player development, and Fran Yerber, Montilla is a guy that they speak of very highly. So there's a lot to like here, and they did a good job in the draft again this year of reinforcing it with some good talent.
I think when you throw also into that, like we talked about the catching depth, but what Dylan Dingler has done this year, Dylan Dingler has long been kind of this interesting catcher for them because the defense is solid, but it's like, okay, is he's got some power, but is he ever going to hit enough to get to it? And I still have at least a little bit of skepticism, but he's really had a breakout year. When we talk about, again, as we go through this, the key thing you want to see in pretty much any of these organizations, everyone should have some guys that you can point to and say, that guy got better this year. Well, Dylan Dingler absolutely got better this year, has kind of gone from he could be a backup catcher to where now they're seeing, okay, can this guy be a regular? And which, by the way, he better keep it up because, as you mentioned, they've got multiple catchers behind him in the system to kind of keep an eye on as well. But then you got a Montilla who's kind of developing. You've got guys in this organization now who you look at and say, that guy's going to be a regular. Max Clark's going to be a regular. The question with him, is he going to be a five regular? Is he going to be a six? Is he going to be a seven? But it would be hard to imagine he's not going to be a regular. Kevin McGonigal is going to be a regular. Like Kevin McGonigal. And by the way, we haven't mentioned the other one I want to mention was Hau-Yu Lee, who we saw at the Futures game as well. But that's a guy who is better than I think a lot of people may fully understand right now. That's another guy who could easily have a path to being a solid regular, better defender than I think a lot of people may expect. Especially what we saw last year, kind of like the first wave of Tigers prospects are the change. We've talked about it probably too much at this point is the change of approach from where they drafted on the position player side, they drafted athletes who they hoped would hit to teach to hit. And that never worked, but now they were drafting hitters and then teaching them to play defense, which is a much better approach. But we've seen kind of like the Colt Keefs of the world and guys like that. But now you add in the Clarks, the McGonigals, guys like that, Lee, who are like guys who can play defense and hit. Well, that's the perfect combo. That's obviously the goal that you're aiming for. And the thing I just look at this is they held on to Tarik Skubal, which gives them if they hold on to him, they could trade him for a King's ransom after the season potentially, but if they hold on to him, that gives you a front of the rotation ace. That's what that guy is. If he can stay healthy, they're working in some pitchers to go with them. This is a team that I do think isn't that far away from being in contention, even as they have had still, their Spencer Torkelson not developing obviously hurts. There have been several of those type of situations. Casey Mize has struggled, was a 1-1 pick and has struggled to stay healthy at times. But even with all that, I do feel like that this is an organization that's kind of in a better spot than they've been in quite a while. And we'll see obviously where that goes. But if they're in a better spot, okay, the award for in a way better spot now than we thought they were coming into the season has to go to the Kansas City Royals. I would say that at this point, if you are saying who is your surprise big league team of 2024, it's the Royals, right, Jeff?
Yeah, and I'll just give myself a pat in the back for my off-season picks. I actually picked this as the surprise team of 2024. I think you look at Bobby Witt Jr., arguably the best player in baseball, certainly one of the best.
Yankees fans are going to they're going to hunt you down, I will tell you right now, for that.
Hey, Aaron Judge doesn't play shortstop, all right? I didn't say best hitter. I think that Aaron Judge is the best hitter in the game. I think Bobby Witt might be two or three. Shohei Ohtani certainly is within that conversation. When you talk about a guy who's, the middle of your order, shortstop, leader, a guy that you can hang your hat on for the next 7 to 8 years, it's a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. They did some things in the offseason to reinforce this pitching staff behind Cole Reagan's all-star. Pretty good. At the trade deadline, they went out, they reinforced the bullpen a little bit. There's still some nice kind of underrated players there. And then you look at the top of the system. They got two or three top 100 prospects. It's not as deep as some other systems within this division or within the game, but there's still some nice pieces throughout. There may be only be a handful of, impact regulars here. Jack Caglione could be a really good player. Blake Mitchell could be a really good player when you consider he can catch. hits for a ton of power, gets on base a ton. Carter Jensen's kind of the same way. And then a lot of arms that could factor into this as well that do have some big stuff and could develop over the next couple of years. Yeah, things have gone really, really well at the major league level. And after being the worst farm system in baseball, according to us, a year ago, I think they're going to move up their rankings a little bit with their draft and some of the other developments here. So I think there's some positives to take away from this. But, you know, kudos to that front office because they've done a really good job of reinforcing that major league roster, number one.
And that's where I did want to spend a little bit of time here. Like, the farm system still has a ways to go, I'd say. But what I give them a lot of credit, I give J.J. Piccolo and the front office credit for is they were, okay, for one, they did a great job in free agency before the season to kind of bolster the starting pitching staff. And that's been, I'd say that they probably did the best job of anyone out there as far as acquiring starting pitchers on a budget and getting really great production out of that. On top of the fact that they basically heisted Cole Reagans from the Rangers last year in the Royals Chapman trade, all that together. But then now what they did at the deadline, they knew they needed bullpen help and they managed to, I would say, do a really good job of kind of building up that bullpen. Does not guarantee you that if bullpens are volatile, that it's all going to work, but adding a Hunter Harvey, adding a Lucas Herzig and doing those in deals that I don't think are really going to come back. And I don't think that those are regrettable deals on their end as far as the players they gave up. I like a Mason Barnett, you know, can like a Caden Wallace, but those are the kind of players that you can trade because you do believe that you have other players of those talents in your system. I just look at where they are now and say, okay, this is a team that I never would imagine, maybe you did because you predicted it, but I never would imagine coming in the season that they would not just be on the cusp of a playoff team, but be a legitimate playoff contender.
Yeah. And I think like you look at this team and there's some pieces in this lineup. Like Mikel Garcia is an underrated player. Really good bats of ball skills, good approach. He hits the ball a heck of a lot harder than people think. 24 years old. You got some runway with this guy. Until he was injured last year, Vinny Pasquantino, I think, was somebody that everyone really liked and thought was a future all-star. Salvador Perez, still a really good leader at 34, still a guy that can hit. Hunter Renfroe, just a solid regular. Maybe more of a 45 now than a 50 like he's been, but can hit enough, can play enough in the outfield. They got some versatile players like MJ Melendez, Michael Macy. You know, Freddie Fermin has been pretty good for them as well. And, you know, they've been able, like I said, to put together a decent pitching staff with, you know, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Michael Lorenzen, Michael Wacha, Brady Singer, I think doesn't get the love that Brady Singer really deserves. He's been really good over the last 3 years. And now that you add a guy like Lucas Irsig at the back of this bullpen with Hunter Harvey, they got some firepower in that pen as well.
I mean, again, I'm probably the biggest member of the Walter Pennington fan club. That's not Walker Pennington's, you know, family. But to trade him for Michael Lorenzen, you do that trade 100 times out of 100 for what the Royals need right now. I just feel like that this is an organization. I talked about it with the White Sox, what Chris Getz is being asked to do. I do think trying to turn around an organization when you were already part of that organization, which is what J.J. Piccolo is also being asked to do. He was a key member of the Royals teams that won, you know, the World Series, that went to back-to-back World Series and won it in 15. But now he's being asked to kind of change things there. And I feel like that they're pulling it off, which is not easy to do. That's a very difficult thing to pull off. And I look at where the Royals are now. I would still say, like on the farm system side, it's something where they've made steps forward, but at the same time, they're still kind of making up for the fact that, let's just be honest, like the Asa Lacy injuries have played a large role in that, but having a top five pick like Asa Lacy, who hasn't really gotten you anything. I'm not a giant fan of the go cheap with the top 10 pick and then spread it around like that can come back and bite you. I think that's happened so far with Frank Mazzucato, who they took a couple of years ago in the first round. Like the numbers look good. At the same time, it's hard for me to envision a guy who's sitting in the high 80s kind of having a whole lot of big league success. It hasn't really, the stuff has backed up, not taken a step forward in pro ball. But that being said, like, you know, you look at what they've got in Blake Mitchell, you look at obviously Jack Caglione, who they added, is a very high ceiling guy. You know, I know that they're starting him out two way. I think we both think at the end of the day, he's probably going to be, you know, more of a slugger. Gavin Cross coming back from injury this year, really like the arms like Blake Walters, Chandler Champlain. This is a system that's definitely more interesting than it was a year ago. But on top of that, the other key thing that's happened here is with Bobby Witt Jr. turning into one of the three best players in all of baseball, it's a whole different dynamic when you have a team now. Winning's contagious. I mean, it does put you in a different perspective going forward when you've now had this season like this to build on. And kind of when we talk about winning being contagious, that takes us to our last team in our AL Central review. And I feel like for the Twins, again, there's a lot of optimism, more optimism than we probably expected to be talking about in an AL Central podcast if we'd have predicted this before the season. But we are talking about a division. I love this stat because I never would have imagined before the season. The division that has three teams in it who have a better record than anyone in the AL West, which, of course, like we all expected coming into the year, that this would be the division doing that because everyone talked about how bad the Central was. But I look at the Twins, and this is an organization that I feel like has a really good lineup now at the big league level with a lot of young talent, with guys like Royce Lewis. Is just please stay healthy, Royce Lewis, so we can see what you can do over the course of a full season, guys like that. Guys like Brooks Lee moving in. But then we talk about it. We want to see guys in the minors who take that leap forward. Like to have who's your guy that you say, wow, that guy's a lot better than he was coming into the year. If you ask that to the Twins, they have to answer with, okay, do you want our position player leap or do you want our pitcher leap? Because I can answer you Luke Kuechel and I can answer you Zebby Matthews, Jeff, and whichever one I answer you, I could make a case that that's one of the bigger leaps in the minors this year.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Zebby Matthews is a guy that's in line to potentially win our minor league pitcher of the year. He's just been so good. I mean, it's ticked down a little bit in AAA, but I think some of that is just learning when he has to throw the ball in the zone and when he can maybe throw it a little bit out of the zone. If that's what your problem is, just throw less strikes. That's a pretty good problem to have. The stuff is there. You know, we've talked about the quality of the fastball. He's got power across his pitch mix. I think that when it's all said and done, this guy's going to be a really good mid-rotation arm for them. And Luke Kuechel is as really broken out as a versatile position prospect that can fill multiple roles in the infield, multiple roles in the outfield. He's not a standout defender anywhere, but can be competent across a bunch of different areas while providing above average offense. And does a little bit of everything offensively, too, in terms of being able to hit, get on base, hit for power, run a little bit as well. So he's an exciting player. And then you got your big three up top in Walker Jenkins, who's among the best prospects in the game. Emmanuel Rodriguez, who's among the best prospects in the game. And then a guy like Brooks Lee that I think we both think would just be a really steady average regular or better. So it's a good system. There's still depth here. And it's one where you can kind of point to a handful of guys here and say, hey, there's more coming in terms of reinforcements over the next couple of years that could really strengthen this team. You know, if a guy like Royce Lewis does stay healthy and continue to produce and show what he can do. So and Jose Miranda at the major league level might be one of the biggest breakouts and biggest improvements from an MLB perspective. So I think there's a lot to hang your hat on here. It's a good system. And you know, over the last couple of years, there's been some points where it looked like this Twins team, major league wise and minor league wise, were kind of headed in the wrong direction. I don't think you can say that now. I mean, they have a guy that was drafted pretty much in the first round, and Kyle DeBarge, all the way down in their 20s. There's not a lot of teams that have that level of depth of potential impact players and some exciting guys. So it's a good group.
The thing that jumps out to me about them is, and again, like you mentioned, and this is a group now that, okay, this is a team that has, with Correa, the free agent acquisition, Correa, Royce Lewis, Jose Miranda, and Brooks Lee. Okay, you know, you're good. Like, if they're all healthy, that's an infield right there. And then you throw in, you know, Buxton being kind of more Byron Buxton this year. Their outfield is pretty good. But then the pitching, to get what they got from Simeon Woods Richardson this year, to get what they've gotten from Bailey Ober, to have these Woods Richardson's kind of homegrown. He was traded, but to have these guys who came up from the farm system to kind of really bolster a rotation that needed it has been kind of crucial. But then you, as you mentioned, kind of, you look at this, you go further on. Connor Prelip's back on the mound. I'm very intrigued by, you know, what that's a guy who's now in their middle, their teens. You know, when we were talking about the White Sox and I was talking about George Walkow, well, the kind of less scary version of that may be Brandon Winokur, who's 6'5" playing shortstop and has been better offensively than I expected him to be. I thought that it might be kind of a bigger adjustment period for him than what it's been. It means that a guy like Marco Raya, who we still want to see get stretched out more, but a guy like Marco Raya is kind of a second tier pitching prospect for them, I would say, at this point. They have guys like Andrew Morris. They have, there's pitching depth here, I would say, in addition
Corey to Corey Lewis. Really interesting pitching prospect. You know, knuckleball guy, too.
There's a lot of guys. Diver De Los Santos, far away guy who's kind of interesting. There's a lot here to like. And the key thing I would say about it, though, is there's a lot here to like in a system that they don't have a whole lot of, like, if you said, okay, let's look ahead to 2025. We just talked about it. There's a lot of young big leaguers here where you're like, okay, they're kind of covered at this position and that position and this position and that position where they've gotten burned. Let's be honest. They've gotten burned a little bit with trading away some prospects at times. Like Spencer Steer would look nice on this team and we could, you know, and so would Yainer Cano. And, you know, there's a variety of guys we could highlight like that.
Yeah. Encarnacion Strand. Yeah. There's a bunch.
Yeah. Christian Encarnacion Strand. But for all that being said, you know, this is a system that's pruning out, that's churning out players like that you look at and say they now have a depth that they haven't had both in the big leagues, I would say, but also in the farm system where it's like, okay, as they have guys hit free agency, as they have guys age out, because again, when you look at that outfield, I would say that between, you know, Larnack's having a solid year, but, you know, between Kepler and Kirilloff, it hasn't worked out for Kirilloff and Margot, who's kind of a, you know, I would say probably a one-year acquisition. There are going to be some openings here, but we've already seen what Matt Wallner's kind of done, hot and cold. But like when he's hot, he's really hot. And there's more on the way. Again, I just look at this overall. I know that there are probably a lot of Twins fans who are probably disappointed about how little they did at the deadline. But I kind of look at it and say, personally, I look at it and say, this is a team that's 16 games over 500 right now. And it, without getting a Scooble or someone like that, which they were never going to get, especially in division, I don't think that they need a whole lot of like, oh, we added another fifth starter who can make starts for us. They're going to make the playoffs, I think. So if you're not going to be part of their playoff rotation or make their playoff bullpen better, I don't know how useful it is for them to add it, except for to just eat some innings, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, an interesting all-around team at this point. And I think just even the development of, like, the players at the major league level, guys have gotten better for the Twins, you know. And as I said, like, it looked like it was going the wrong direction coming out of 2020 in some of those drafts where some of their picks didn't materialize. Some guys that we thought had high upside have dealt with injuries like Araya, et cetera. They've been able to backfill. They've done really well in the international market as well. There's a guy that I don't even think is on this top 30 in Eduardo Beltre that's going to be that helium prospect this week, who's a really interesting
28 on our list.
Oh, is he 28? Well, there you go. We got him in. But like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot really at every level where you could see a Twins affiliate and you're going to see a guy that has above average regular tools. And not every team can say that.
So that's our look at the AL Central. You know, we'll keep this rolling. AL West coming next. But thank you for the download. If you enjoyed this, please like and subscribe. And you know, so as we keep these coming. But thank you, as always, to the Baseball America subscribers. For Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.